going to direct you guys to the second reading today, okay? Of Parshas Nasi. Second Parsha, second Torah portion in the fourth book by Midbar. The Parsha is called Naso. We're going to take a look at Sheni today. Verse 38. Okay, you got it? Ufakudei b'nei Gershon. The counting of the children of Gershon. L'mishpachaysam u'levesa v'esam. In the previous Torah portion, we concluded with the counting of the family called Kehat. And Kehat had a very special job. They were going to carry the Ark, the Aron. They were going to carry the menorah, the mizbechot, the altars. And then came the other families, which are the families of Merari and the family of Gershom. So now we're talking about Gershom's family. And the family should be counted, l'mishpechosom u'levesavosom, by their family and by their ancestral background. Miben shleishim shana v'mayla, from 30 years and older, ba'ad ben chamishim shana, until 50 years, all of these people will be presenting themselves for work in the Ohel Moed, in the Tent of Meeting. And now we hear the numbers. And so they're counting by their families, tracing the lineage by their patrilineal ancestry. Because you're Jewish because of your mother. But your details of your lineage, this depends on who your father is. So the numbers were Alpayim Mishmeis 2,600 Vishleshim and 30. Ela Pekudei Mishpeches Bnei Gershon. These are the families of the Bnei Gershon. Kol HaOyved BeOhel Moed. All the people who are going to work in the Tent of Meeting. Asher Pokad Moshe VeAaron Al Pi Hashem, who were counted by Moshe and Aaron by virtue of God's command. Ufakudei mishpachas bnei Merari. And now we move on to the counting of the family of bnei Merari, l'mishpachosam u'lebeis avosam. Now one thing we see here again, we keep hearing about mishpachosam u'lebeis avosam, the families and the patrilineal lineage. But here in verse 42, it says ufakudei, the counting of mishpachas bnei Merari, of the children of Merari. And then it says l'mishpachosam u'lebeis avosam. So we actually have the word mishpacha, we have the word family appearing twice in verse 42. Because we call mishpachos and then mishpachosim. The Tzreir Hamor says that even though Merari was the youngest of the Levite clans, or came from the youngest brother, nonetheless, they had many more families than the older brothers. So they were large in the number of families. And because they had many family units, that's why only when it comes to the Bnei Merari do we emphasize this concept of mishpachos, of family once again. And they too will be working, Ben Shleishim Shana, verse 43, from the age of 30 years, Vamala and over, Ve'ad Ben Chamishim Shana, until the age of 50. Kol Habo Latzavo, everybody who shows up, so to speak, to work in the Tent of Meeting. By Ohel Moed, in the Tent of Meeting. By Yehu Pekudehem, we hear now about their numbers. The Mishpachosam, by the virtue of the families. Shleisha Salafim Amasoyim, 3,200. The Torah now gives us a sum total, a tally. Eila Pekudeh Mishpachos B'nei Merari. These are the families of B'nei Merari, the children of Merari, Asher Pokad Meisha V'Aaron, who were counted by Moses and Aaron, Al Pi Hashem B'Ad Meisha, by virtue of God's command, administered by the hand of Moshe. Kol ha-pikudim, all of the numbers that were counted, asher pokad Moshe v'Aaron, which Moshe and Aaron counted, u'nesiyei Yisrael, and the leaders of the Jewish people, u'mishpachosam, u'leveis avosam, miben shleishim shana v'mala, from the age of 30 and older, v'ad ben chamishim shana till the age of 50, kol ha-bo la-aveda, la-avedas aveda, anybody who came to do the work. And here we have like a triplicate. La'avid, avidas avida, va'avidas masa ba'ilmeid, which would, I guess, translate as, this is like a mouthful, everybody who was able to perform the service. They were coming, haba la'avid avidas, avida, they came to do the work of work, va'avidas masa, and the work of carrying ba'ilmeid. So Rashi has to explain something to us because we have, like, we keep repeating kol abol avida avida savida. There's a whole bunch of avidas over here. There's a lot of work going on over here. What are we describing? So Rashi says like this: what's avida savida? The work of the work. Rashi says in verse 47, he hashir. This is the work of the choir, where the Levites were all, you know, the choirs. Now with the musical accompaniment, the milza tayim v'chineres u'bashar negina. So we have the cymbals, and we had the fiddles or violins or harps, and this was something that was done when they would pour the wine for the korban on the mizbeach. They would have this musical accompaniment. Shehi avida la avida acheres. This was an accompaniment. It's a work for another work. In other words, it did not have virtue or value in and of itself. Its purpose was to accompany something else. The aveda, the service, was performed by the kohenim. The services, the offerings on the mizbeach. However, accompanying that aveda, to make that aveda more meaningful, there was an aveda le'aveda. There was a work for a work, or a service for a service. So, in other words, in English, accompanying. The accompanying work for the work is this business of the making music. And that was the Levi's job. And then we have avidas masa. So here we don't say avidas avida. Here it doesn't say the work of the work. Here it just says avidas masa, in plain English, schlepping, carrying heavy stuff. So Rashi says this is kemashmoi. That's what it sounds like. Schlepping is schlepping. That's what it sounds like. The Rosh and the Daz Zakenim in Bali HaTesfis, they say that avidas avida is not referring to the music, but rather to the shechita, to the slaughtering of the animals, and to the skinning of the animals. Because the truth is, you don't have to be a Kohen to do that. The Kohen's avodah is to bring the animal parts onto the mizbeach. But to slaughter the animal, you did not require the efforts or contribution of the Kohanim. And the Rosh and the Daz Zakenim say that this was performed by the Levites. As it's discussed in the book of Ezra and in the book of Chronicles and Divrei Hayomim, so therefore they say that the Avodas Avodah is not referring to the music that accompanied the actual korban, but rather that which was a prepared for the Avodah. You can't bring an animal to the Mizbeach without slaughtering it first, so therefore the slaughtering and the moving of the skins, that's Avodas Avodah. Now I'm going to presume that Rashi doesn't follow that approach, because that's not an Avodah altogether. That's not even part of the Aveda. That's a preamble. That's preparing you for the Aveda. In simple terms, so the mitzvah on Pesach, we shouldn't have any chametz. So if you're cleaning your house, so you're actually doing a mitzvah. Cleaning your house, getting rid of the chametz, are you doing a mitzvah? Not really. I mean, you're preparing for a mitzvah. That's what we call hechsher mitzvah. You're preparing to do a mitzvah, but you're not actually doing a mitzvah. So there are certain things which we do, but in and of themselves, they're not really a mitzvah. And then there are things which details in a mitzvah which are complement a bigger focus or a bigger purpose, but in and of themselves, they're like the filigree of the mitzvah. So Rashi seems to opt for the other opinion, that we're talking about something which is an aveda. It is part of the service in the temple, but it's not one of the official or formal avedas. It's kind of the adjunct or add-on avedas. And we finish off by saying, Vayiyu pikudeyam shmeinus alofim, the total tally was 8,000 and chamish meis ushmeinim. Our total tally was 8,580. That's how many Levites were mustered for service in the Beis HaMikdash. Al pi Hashem pokadesam, all of this was directed by God himself. It was done by Ad Moshe. It was appointed by Moshe. Ish alavedase. A very important verse here. Everybody's got to do his or her own job, right? This is a lesson in Mishkan, a lesson, but in life itself. Do what you can do. Do what you're appointed to do. Everybody al avedase for his aveda, and everybody for a masai, for his own burden, for his own so to speak, your own schlepping. You got to lug your own challenges. Ufikudav asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, and all of the countings that were commanded from Hashem to Moshe. So it says, al pi Hashem pakad oisam, by the virtue, by God's command, as directed by God, pakad oisam, he commanded them. So the Ur HaChaim says, pakad oisam doesn't only mean to count. Pakad oisam means to appoint. And the fact that B'nai Kehas were appointed to carry the ark, and the fact that B'nai Gershon and B'nai Merari, respectively, were carrying the curtains or coverings, or the heavy planks and the sockets, the fact that everybody got their job was not Moshe Rabbeinu's own idea which family should do what, but rather that itself was as directed by Hashem. Now, oftentimes people have a job and they have a purpose or a mission and they don't like their mission. They like what everybody else is doing. They want to volunteer for somebody else's work. They don't want to do their work. This has been an age-old problem. And a person has to know that what he ends up with b'hashgacha pratis, we don't have the privilege of seeing Moshe Rabbeinu openly appoint various people now to their jobs and to their missions that's directed by Hashem, but you got to believe in Hashgacha Pratis. You got to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you get a job and if you end up in a particular set of circumstances, you have to believe that it's appointed by Hashem, that it's directed by Hashem. And the important thing for us is to do the best that we could do. Now, I know maybe this is not such an inspiring reading. It's like sounds like a little wordy, and a lot of numbers. But nonetheless, this is Hashem's Torah. So we study it, and we try to glean life's lessons from it. And today, we're going to focus on one word in Rashi. Just one word, to find a deeper and inspirational message. And the word in Rashi is kimashmo'i. Kimashmo'i means as its literal intimation, the way it sounds. So sometimes people use a word and they don't mean the word they're using. That's like a pun intended. Or they're alluding to something else. Seeing time fly does not require throwing a timepiece out the window. You remember as kids, something called Amelia Bedelia? So Amelia Bedelia took everything literally, right? And that's very funny. And sometimes when you take everything literally, you sound like an absolute idiot because a lot of things are not literally, a lot of things are euphemistic. And then there are times when you got to wonder, so what does this mean? Is it literal or not? Sometimes it's not so clear. And this is one of the instances where it says, we had in this pasuk that it says, Kol haba la'avoid avoidas avoida va'avoidas masa. It's a little confusing here. It says, avoidas avoida, pardon me, la'avoid avoidas avoida, to work the work of the work. Ve'avoidas masa. So Rashi told us that la'avoid avoidas avoida in verse 47, avoidas avoida, the work of the work. So la'avoid, you're going to work the work of the work. According to Rashi's approach, this is the choir. This is the holding those heavy cymbals and crashing the cymbals together and working with this big harp or big cello. That's the meaning of avoidas avoida. And then there's avoidas masa, the work of the schlepping. So Rashi says, that's the way it sounds. Kimashmoy, literally, schlepping. Schlepping. Lugging heavy things. That they had to carry this Mishkan through the desert. This was a tough assignment. So the Rebbe, on one occasion, he spoke about this Rashi, and he said, we have to understand the intention of Rashi. What was Rashi telling us? In other words, what would you have thought if Rashi wouldn't say kimashmoy? If Rashi wouldn't say that it means literally. It should be understood literally that avoidas masa means avoidas masa. The burden is a burden. That the weight is a weight. That the schlepping or carrying is schlepping and carrying. What else could it mean? It's like sometimes you're not clear. It could mean literal, could not be literal. What would it mean over here? If Rashi wouldn't say that avoidas masa is kimashmoy, if he wouldn't say that the burden of carrying heavy things is literal, is literally carrying heavy things. Which is not such a stretch because we're talking about a heavy Mishkan that had to be carried to the desert. What would you have said? So the Rebbe says, a moment before he explains the words avoidas masa, he explains the words avoidas avoida. And as you remember, what did Rashi say? Rashi said that avodas avoda, the service of the service, the work of the work, that's the sheer b'melzatayim v'chineres. That's the work with these symbols, right? They had these large symbols that would crash together, and they had this harp or cello or some kind of violin, which is an avoda la avoda acheres. Why is it called avodas avoda? Why is it called the work of the work? Because in and of itself, it doesn't have virtue. It's meaningful because work is being done, because an avodah is being performed on the Mizbeach. And because an avodah is being performed on the Mizbeach, this is the avodah that accompanies that avodah. That's the work of the work. So the Rebbe says, Hoyimakim lefarish kach. You might have thought, I mean, it would be room to suggest, that the milim, the words avodas masa, that the words avodas masa, the work of the carrying, the work of the burden, of bearing the burden, you would have thought that perhaps this is the work for the need of carrying, not the work of carrying itself, but maybe something that accompanies carrying. Well, what accompanies carrying? So if avodas avoda doesn't mean actual work, it means the work which is preparatory work, or the work that's accompanying work. Avodas avoda, the work of the work, means the music, as Rashi said it, or, you know, the Russian, the Balei Dazaken, the Balei Tesfus, tell us that it's the Shechita, it's the Hefshet. We talked about why Rashi might not follow that approach. But the point is, it's a work to the work. It's not the work itself. It work what prepares me for the work. So I might have thought that the words Avodas Masa is also the work for the work. What would be the work for the work if you're talking about schlepping?
Putting together everything.
Putting it together. Loading up the wagons. That's also work. You ever see like when a band comes in, they set up for a wedding?
Yeah.
You know, these guys come in with enormous containers, and it takes like a good hour and a half to set up the band. Do you ever see it? And you make a simcha, you come early, and like these guys are setting up, and then when they have to take it apart, it's a big deal. You know, like everything has its place, and it's all wrapped in soft cloths, and you can't take expensive musical instruments and throw them into a box together. You won't have a band the next day. It's a big job to set it up, a big job to take it down. Sometimes the musicians themselves actually do it. Sometimes they actually hire help and they have prima donna musicians. And so, schlep. I'm not going to be putting that stuff together. But the other guy, they just come in at the end to fine tune, to make sure everything is right. So you would say, listen, there's an avodah of carrying the Mishkan, but you can't just carry the Mishkan. Everything had to be properly disassembled, and then it had to be wrapped up, or that stuff going on wagons. Loading up a wagon was no small feat. As the Gemara in Shabbos describes how every square centimeter was used. There wasn't an ounce of extra space when they loaded up those wagons. It had to be loaded up very cleverly. So it can, you know, some people pack well. My wife packs well. I don't pack. I pack and then she repacks. And then I load up the car if we're going for a drive, and then she's okay, now put this here, there, and there, and somehow, I don't know, she knows better. And then everything fits in. It's like a chokhmah to size it up.
Yeah? It's easier to unpack.
It's easy to unpack too, of course. And the door closes, you know. So there's avodas avodah. There's the te'ina al ha'agolas. There's uploading up the wagons. You might have thought that's what it means. Lachain, therefore, Rashi says, even though avodas avodah means the work for the work, avodas masa does not mean the preparatory work for the work, or loading up of wagons, or disassembling and packing everything. No, here it means, literally, kimashmoy, the way it sounds. Schlepping is schlepping. That's what we're talking about over here. So this is Lachain Madis Rashi. Rashi emphasizes Shahakavana, that even though the first half of the verse speaks of a work which is not actual work, meaning a preparatory activity, not the activity itself, here we refer to Avodas Masa Kimashmoy, literally. Kilaymar, in other words, La Avodas Hamasa Atma, the work of schlepping itself. The Leila Avodas not the other work or other activities which merely prepare to be able to do it. And now, the Rebbe tells us something very interesting. We just learned, not once, not twice, but in this short reading we did three times, age limitation, that the work is done from age 30 to age 50. The Levite career was 2 decades. The Gansa Maisa, you got 2 good decades of work, that's it, 20 years. So Cholo, this refers Rak al Avedes Hadershes Koyachoma Amatz. you would think that Levites worked from 20 to 50, 30 to 50, and that's it. 20 years of the career. And afterwards, forced retirement. You're 50, that's it, you're too old. Out to the pasture. Comes along the Torah and says that the work of 30 to 50, the work over here that we discussed is Havidas Maso, it's Kimashmoi, the things that require heavy lifting. Lachain HaLeviim, or Eiskim, and the Leviim that are working on these things, Tzichim Li is Besi, Keicham have to be at the zenith, the apex of their strength. Kidivre Rashi, the Parshas Bamidbar, like Rashi says earlier in the previous Parsha, Va'apachas Mishleishim, under 30, Leinus Ma'alo Keichai. You do not reach your full strength until you're 30. Va'yei Sarah Ben Chamishim, and once you reach 50, then they give you a mug that says over the hill, right? That's Makhish Me'ata. You're starting to get weaker. You're not getting stronger, you're starting to get weaker. However, what about the preparatory stuff? But not the actual heavy lifting. That didn't require great effort. That requires seichel. That requires brains. That requires know-how. That requires experience. Age 50, you're wiser. You're more experienced. You're smarter. You're more effective. Rebbe says, a tremendous novelty here. You should know that this business of Levites being retired at age 50, because you're over the hill, only meant that the heavy lifting, it meant the schlepping wasn't required. It's like in the army, you're not in combat, I think, past 50. They retire you after 50, but all the generals are over 50. All the brass, the upper brass are over 50. They don't have 22-year-old generals, because in order to be a general in an army, you have to have decades of experience. The younger police officers, the policing is not a very long career. By the time people are in their 50s, they almost always retire already. But the senior officers in policing are almost always older. Again, the same idea. Why? Because there's a time when we don't need brawn, we need more brains and more experience. So therefore, do we believe in forced retirement? Only from the schlepping jobs. So if you say, I'm 50, sorry, I don't schlep anymore, that's okay. Let somebody else learn. Kedivrei Rashi, like Rashi says in Parshas Baleischa, Umi ben chamishim shana. This is the next Parsha. Rashi says there, from 50 and older, Yoshuv mitzvah ha'aveda, v'lo ya'avedeid, you'll get retired. Send you and turn you in from the workforce, from the legion. But he says, avedas masa bekosev, that refers to the heavy schlepping by shoulder. But Rashi says, you do become responsible for the opening and closing of doors, meaning somebody who's got the keys. Golas, even to load up the wagons, right? I don't have that much brawn, but I have more brawn than my wife. But when it's the brains, she tells me how to pack. The knowing how to pack and how to make things fit, that's not the brawn that you need the brains for. And therefore, you couldn't explain that Avodas Masa means only to prepare. Because if Avodas Masa would be only to prepare, then we have a problem. Then it would sound like you stop preparing or stop getting things ready for work, for the schlepping, at age after age 50. But that in fact is not true. And therefore Rashi is compelled to say that we refer to Avodas Masa literally. Avodas Masa is the actual schlepping, the actual heavy lifting, because we're talking in these psukim, but getting retired after 50. And therefore, it must be kemashmoy, sha'aveda sha'ochein dorsha koyach ravd, the work that takes great strength. V'lochein chol olagbola, that's why there's this limitation of v'ben shleishim shana v'malo, v'yad ben chamishim shana. That's why there's an age limitation from age 30 to 50. So what's our takeaway? Is there forced retirement in the Torah? The answer is only from heavy lifting. The things that need the hard, heavy work, let the young people do that. However, when it comes to the work that requires experience and know-how and insight, there, chas v'shalom, on the contrary, a person is not retired. On the contrary, we, like the Rebbe always used to say, that people are like wine, they get only better with age. So let me just say in closing that the Rebbe did not believe in retirement. He may be believed for some people for slowing down. He certainly didn't slow down himself. But he may be, somebody said he wants to slow down a little. I can't tell you that he didn't allow people to slow down a little bit. And sometimes you need to allow people who are younger to step into a role, an important role. But the Rebbe did not believe in retirement. He believed that a human being has to be effective. A human being has to be what you call in Hebrew pa'il. Every human being has to be doing something meaningful. And therefore, when we're doing meaningful things, that keeps us going. That keeps us healthy. I have heard it said, even though I don't have it corroborated, can't give you the statistics, I've heard it said that retirement is the biggest killer.
Yeah.
The number one biggest killer. So nobody retire. Keep working. And even if, one second, I know you're not working anymore. So what should you do?
Florida.
You should work for the community, and you should devote yourself to the toil of Torah study. The point is to live a meaningful life, not to sit back and to relax and do nothing. Because people weren't born to do nothing. People were born to be effective and to do valuable, meaningful things to make a contribution to society and the betterment of humanity. L'chaim.